Good morning. Again, a welcome to all our guests. We thank you for joining us. This morning, we're going to look at a text that most of the time we hear at weddings. It's used many times. I use it. Many other pastors use it. A lot of people like it as a scripture reading during a wedding. But the text itself is really not addressing marriage at all. Yeah, it has some good advice, but it's not really about marriage. It's about how we are to treat one another within the body and how the body is to treat the world. And so, it really talks about how we are to love. And not just those people we like, but all people. And we do this not out of some obligation, but more out of the sense that we have been loved despite who we are. God has shown and demonstrated His love for us, and that, understanding that, the natural outflowing from us is love to others. And because God has demonstrated His love for us, and that He sent His Son to die for us, while we were yet sinners, I can bring us all greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. It starts with chapter 12, verse 31, and continues on through chapter 13. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the word. Reading in Jesus' name. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues and men of angels, and have not charity, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself in unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopeth all things, and endures all things. Charity never fails. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a glass, but darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Amen. Please be seated. And of course, within this text, we would understand this charity to be love. And Paul starts out, basically, I'm starting out from where we left off last week, but earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. The church of Corinth, in amongst themselves, was fighting about basically who was greater, who was the better person, who had the greatest spiritual gifts, who was more holy. And Paul goes through what we talked about last week, that all have been blessed. And all the gifts are given to the body that the body would have everything it needs to prosper and actually to spread the gospel. And now he goes on to talk about something that's much more excellent. Something that we all can have and have by the Spirit of God. A higher gift. Something that is much more excellent than these things, because it's something that we can show and demonstrate every day. And so he goes on to compare these to some of the spiritual gifts. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. A lot has been made known in modern Christianity about tongues and having to speak in them and having this whole idea of a prayer language. But unless it's used with love, unless it is used within its proper context, it means absolutely nothing. And this is something that Paul really gets down to. All it is basically noise. Because it's not used for the uplifting of the body. If we don't use what we've been given in a spirit of love, it means really nothing to us. And that's really what he goes on to say in the second verse here. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and if I have faith as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Now we hold up and we look up to those people who are great speakers, who are able to divide the Word of God, to understand some of the mysteries that are involved within the Scriptures. We hold them up and we think that they're just the most wonderful thing. But if those gifts and those understandings are not used in love, it's worthless. And we will go on later to really describe what love is. Because I know people who are very smart. A lot smarter than I ever dreamed of being. But the reason that I learned from them and was able to really respect them was because they also loved me. It's an interesting thing when I first moved up here. And it now seems like quite a while ago. Some people say, well, it ain't that long ago. And some people go, yeah, it's been too long. But 10 years ago, one of your former pastors gave me some advice when I was leaving ESCO. It was the last stop I made. I stopped at Bruce Brookstead's house. And it was about 25 below zero, as it normally is in late December in Minnesota. And he walked me out to the car. And as I got into the car, he told me a word of advice. One that I think I've taken to heart. If you want to have an effective ministry within that congregation, love them. That's Christianity. Do we love and care for one another? Yes, at times we get frustrated, we have our differences, but in the end of the day, do we care enough about the body of Christ to love them no matter what the differences they have with us? Because this is really the importance. We can be as smart as we want. We can have faith, as Paul says, that we can move mountains. But if we don't love, the individuals within the body of Christ and even outside of the body of Christ, it is absolutely worthless to us. And so that word of advice that I got through all my seminary training, through all the Bible studies and the studies I've done, to be perfectly honest, was probably the best advice and the best learning that I ever received. And it is something that is not something that you conjure up. It is a gift of God that we can love one another. Because we can do whatever we want in the name of God. But if we don't demonstrate our love for one another, it does not matter. If I give away all that I have, if I deliver my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. We can give. Right now we have a situation in this world that everybody knows people need our help and our resources. Haiti, we see it on the news, we hear about it in the newspapers. But if we do those things and don't really do it out of love, it really means nothing. If I'm able to give up my body and allow myself to be persecuted, but then hate my persecutor, it really means not much to God. Because when Jesus looked down upon that cross and the people that were putting him there, he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Jesus Christ is the perfect demonstration about what love is. If you want to know how to love, look at him. Look at how he treats people. Look at how he treats especially sinners. Because really, that's what we all are. Sinners in need of grace. If we're honest with ourselves, we understand that yes, we don't do these things the way that we're called to do. And it really gets interesting as we move into these next verses. Because it really starts to describe what love is. Because it becomes action. Not a feeling I have here, but really, what I end up doing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. And as I was looking at this, I thought, well, let's take a look at what these words mean. Patient. Bearing pains or trials calmly, without complaining. Now, I dare say, most of us, unfortunately, when we're tried, or even if the weather's bad, we complain. And these are the things that we need to understand. You know, it's easy to be calm, or not easy, actually sometimes it's harder, to be calm and patient with those we love. But for somebody that we don't like very much, we really have no time or patience for. And our calling within the body is to have patience for each other. Envy. Painful or resentment awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another over us or by a possession that they have that we do not have. Sometimes when someone is blessed, we wonder, well, God, why'd you give them that? They don't deserve it. I deserve it. And we become very childish in these things. Instead of rejoicing in their blessing and in God's giving them blessing, we envy them because we want it. And yet maybe it wasn't for us. But rather we should rejoice in God's blessing to others because it's a blessing of us within the body. Boasting to brag for pride's sake. Telling everybody about how great we are. Love is not rude or boasting or envying. Love is, on the other hand, it's patient and kind. And this really calls us into how do we treat people? Are we patient with them? One of the hardest things for a seminary student coming out of seminary to learn is that people are not at the same level of understanding of the Scripture that you are. You have just got done spending 3 or 4 years studying the Scripture in depth, day after day after day. And to learn to have patience that there are other views out there that need to be discussed, need to be learned, and need to be loved, and people need to be loved, even though those expressions may not be exactly correct. But that's okay. Because we'll find out in the end, and especially in the end of this text, that none of us really know this whole thing perfectly. But do we have patience for one another, even when they disagree with us? It's interesting because I meet now every Monday morning by teleconference with a group of pastors, and annual meetings are coming up. Now, I feel we have been blessed in the last 5 years. Our annual meetings last about 45 minutes. We give a report on what's going on. But the lack of patience that are shown in some places scares me. When pastors describe how things go down within their various meetings and things, and I'm not blaming those folks. I mean, unfortunately, that's human nature. It just as easily could happen here if something blew up. But that we would always keep in forefront as we meet together and as we gather together and discuss the business of the church, there will be people who disagree with us. And do we still show them respect, love, kindness, patience, with an understanding that their gift and their calling may be much different than what we're called to do? Because that's really how these things work out. Love is not rude. It does not insist on its own way, and it is not irritable or resentful. Now there's one in here that's really tough for me. It's not irritable. Well, my wife will tell you, and probably Cheryl, she's not here today so I can talk about her. Oh, she's here. That I get irritable. Things start to go the wrong way and all of a sudden I'm mad. And yeah, I think we all end up with those type of things. But it's something that we, as believers, need to recognize within ourselves and ask God to work on. Because we all have those type of things within this flesh. And yet we're called as Christians to love. To care for one another. And the other thing that love does is it does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. And that's very much different than our modern culture. Our modern culture loves to see somebody fall down. It's almost celebrated within our media. That somebody would be up on a pedestal and that they'd do something wrong and people all, see, look at him. He's not so great. When really, in most cases, what we should do is mourn for that person. Because they have had a tough deal. And yes, they have sinned. But the whole thing with sin is it is certainly still forgiven. And that they would be built back up. That they would be restored, especially within the body. And that we would be as forgiving as God was forgiving to us. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. That we would endure. And even when things seem at their worst, that we would hope that they would get better. That we would automatically just stay put, even in the place, in the face of adversity. And this is the hard part. Because for the most part, when it comes within the church, well, if I don't like what's going on in that church, I'm out of here. I'm going to give some of you who have been here through the midst of all kinds of trials and tribulations a pat on the back. You've endured hardship within this congregation. We now have come out the other side, and people have talked about the love that you have shared with each other. And the reason that I know that there's love shared is something happens here every Sunday morning that's interesting. People don't leave. It's one of the coolest things that I have seen is that people will gather together outside in the narthex and share their lives together. That's love. That's what we're called to do. To bear one another's burdens and to share. But a lot of you didn't pick up and leave when times got tough. You stayed, you endured, and you loved. Praise God for your example to each and every one of us. Love never ends. As for prophecy, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. All these things are part of this side. Prophecy, knowledge, the gifts of the body. And really, Paul goes on to explain that. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Many of the things within Christianity that we hold up, in the end, won't mean much. But whether we loved one another or cared for one another will mean everything. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then we shall know face to face. For now I know in part, then shall I know fully, even as I have been fully known. And this really explains what we are to realize about ourselves. all the things that we are so positive that we're correct on, we could be wrong. And to have that understanding so that we can love someone who may have a different understanding than we do. The Pharisees certainly thought that they were correct and right. And they held that belief to the point that they put the Son of God to death. Now we have a hand in that too. But to have an understanding and to know and to have enough love for others that we understand that really we know in part. What our understanding is so little in comparison to what God knows. But when the end comes, we will fully know. And every once in a while when I think of this, I think, man, I'll probably laugh at myself. Because those who have sat in my classes, both in the adult Bible study and in our men's Bible study, I'm pretty structured on how this should go. And that's what I've been given, and I'm faithful to that calling. But I also understand that God someday may change my mind and prove me to be wrong. And that's okay. But what really, in the end of this verse, is I shall know fully as I am fully known. There is tremendous promise in that verse. God knows exactly who you are, what you believe, your worst, darkest secrets, the most glorious things within your life. He knows them all, to the little detail. And yet, He loves you. And He demonstrated His love towards us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knows us, and He loves us no matter what. And yes, we are called on to love one another. Because in the end, that's the greatest. So now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. And this is not romantic love. This is how we love one another, because we have first been loved by God through His Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray.